Hey friends, welcome to Living in His Purpose podcast, where we recognize that in God's purpose, He has the perfect spot for you. If you're a Christian woman and you're feeling overwhelmed and anxious by this rat race way of life, and you're ready to find simplicity God's way, you're in the right spot. By replacing negative mindsets and habits with God's word, we're going to give Holy Spirit permission to come in and help us walk bravely in this upside down world. These are not easy things to face, sweet friend. You're going to have to put on your big girl pants. So pull them up, grab a drink, and let's get going. Hey friends, today I'm going to tell you a story. Have you ever heard that phrase, they lost their marbles? Well, I use that all the time, especially when I'm at work, when I'm with the babies. You know, sometimes we have two or three other babies, and as babies get bigger, they become a little more vocal. They're awake a little bit more, and they have more to say about life. And a lot of times you'll be in with one baby in one room, and you can hear your other little baby down the hall just losing his marbles. And rather than, you know, that creating anxiety, I have a great amount of empathy for them. I imagine these little ones just, their marbles are all over the place. They need help. I can tell you that what ends up happening is you go in, they've gotten out of their swaddle, they're hungry, they may be at the end of the crib, or something has catastrophically happened in their life. And so I use that term, losing their marbles. Well, the other day on Sunday, I lost my marbles. It started last week, where I don't know what has happened. Maybe spring has sprung. Many people are wanting to start organizing. I got several phone calls and started two jobs last week and last week of new clients. And I was very excited, gung-ho, woohoo, let's go. And I kept up with my normal routine in addition to some heavy lifting on my organizing. And I found myself by midweek having to use caffeine to stay awake, which I don't ever normally drink caffeine. So having that caffeine to stay awake every day, not sleeping well because I'd had caffeine that day, not resting, not taking a day or part of a day to be quiet, which is what I physically need personally to keep my mind sane. And on Sunday, my marbles fell out of the bag. I had done my normal Sunday routine, and then it pushed into an addition that I've had on my calendar, and I didn't take the time, the couple of hours that I should have just rested. I took the time to do everything else but rest, and I knew in my mind I was supposed to be resting. That's what I've set aside Sundays for. I had promised to God that that's what I would do on Sundays, and I didn't. I picked up my phone. I was scrolling social media. I was so tired that I needed to stay awake, and that's what I chose to use instead of actually sleeping, resting, getting the stuff that I need. And when I was in my car after taking the dog to play, and their little preacher guy was on there, and he was talking about the horrific beatings and torture that Jesus went through the day that he was crucified, I could not take it anymore. I hit my emotional limit, and I turned the radio off, and I lost it. I just lost it. And I had to ask for forgiveness because I knew I wasn't doing what it is I was supposed to be doing. I was not resting like I was supposed to be resting. And therefore, all these emotions, all this work that I've been doing, all of this lack of sleep and addition of caffeine and things that I know weren't the best for me caught up to me. And when I was quietly after that, now, you know how it is when you're getting scolded when you're a kid, you kind of sit there quietly and you ponder what it is that you did wrong. And that's where I was at. I was thinking about what happened, what just happened in my life. Well, I have to back up a little bit. And back in January, I went and saw my doctor, and apparently I'm entering menopause. Woohoo! So I thought, I was kind of excited about that because I wasn't having any symptoms. Well, then she proceeded to tell me all the symptoms that could start occurring. And I was like, oh, great. But I wasn't having them. So I still felt okay about it. Well, one of the symptoms that you can have when you start entering menopause is like your emotional level is all over the place. And so I was sitting there thinking about that. Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to suffer like this? I do not understand. And it really just got me thinking about why did God create emotions? So that's what we're going to talk to today. And towards the end, I am going to tie it into Easter because Easter is coming, and all of it, all of that God has to tell us really does tie into it. But today we're going to talk about emotions and why God gave them to us. Why did he give us these things that can totally take over any rational thought? They can upset your plans that you have. They can hurt relationships. They can cause road rage and car accidents and all these horrible things. Why did we need emotions? So to the Word of God, in the Bible, we have lots and lots of examples of emotions that people can have. And most of them, I think, are probably found in the book of Psalms. David was so good at writing heartfelt emotions, whether it was joy indescribable or the depths of pain indescribable. And I'm so glad he did, although I didn't always feel that way. When I was younger, I was weird. I thought that the Psalms for those people who were weak and sappy and sad and couldn't find the joy in life. And I don't see that anymore, just so you know. I've gone through enough in life now where I realize it's so comforting to know that God hears my hard struggles and he knows what I'm going through, and I'm not the only person to go through that. We have verses in Philippians talking about anxiety, Proverbs that talks about a cheerful heart, Ephesians that talks about anger, and John mentions Jesus weeping. There's so many emotional experiences that individuals have, and I'm so grateful God put them in there for me to read about. I'm grateful that he's given us his word that tells us what to do with all these emotions, and spoiler alert, you let them go. You give them to Jesus. You take care of your physical needs and what you can at that moment, and you quit. You just quit having these heavy emotions. And that's super hard, isn't it? It's hard when our emotions are so overwhelming just to let them go. But where do these emotions come from? Well, here's my nursey nerd brain here. Emotions can come from three things. They can come from our biological factors, they can come from our mindsets, and they can come from our social factors. So our biological factors are like hormones, neurotransmitters, and any other physiological change that occurs in our body, like happiness. Happiness can be associated with the release of endorphins, and while stress or fear is our body's way to respond to the fight or flight response. We can have emotions coming out from our minds, how we see things, how we interpret the situation or events or the stimulation around us. For example, someone can feel angry in response to a threat or perceived injustice. On the other hand, you can have feelings of love and attachment that come up from when you're thinking positively about a relationship and good experiences that you've had. Emotions can also be influenced by our social factors, including our cultural norms, our social interactions, our interpersonal relationships, our families. People often experience emotions in response to social cues. If you think about it, when you see someone smiling, you have a response to that. If someone's communicating in a not so good way while you're driving down the road, you have an emotional response to that too. We respond to what's going on around us socially. So I've come up with 5 reasons that I think God has given us emotions. First of all, they are what make us human. They allow us to experience the richness of life, like joy and love and sadness and empathy, which are essential for us to create connections with other people and even to understand ourselves. Emotions can be a form of communication between others and with yourself. When I got worked up on Sunday, when I lost all my marbles, I was obviously communicating I was overstimulated with life. I was over it, and I better sit down and do what it is that I knew God wanted me to do. I was going to get in big trouble. It was only going to get worse. These emotions enable us to empathize with other people. So when we're looking at ourselves, we can recognize our needs and our desires and what we value in life. And then these emotions help us to empathize with others, allowing us to learn compassion and how to connect with other people. Emotions play a huge role in our spiritual journey by shaping our responses to God and the world around us. It deepens our faith. It can lead us to seek comfort and guidance and transformation in God's word. And his word is so clear on how that happens. It happens through prayer, worship, and reading the word of God. Another reason that I think God gave us emotions is we're created in the image of God and we reflect his nature, which includes emotions. If you look throughout the whole Bible, you see God as experiencing a wide range of emotions like love and compassion, anger and joy. And our capacity for emotions reflects this aspect of our divine design. The plants, the animals, and the earth, they don't have this special thing. And then lastly, they allow us to have a free will, and we can reflect on things and our relationships God values our autonomy. I mean, just think about the Garden of Eden. He gave them a free will. Of course, they didn't do it so well, and we probably wouldn't have either, but he values that autonomy. He really wants a genuine relationship with us, and allowing us to experience emotions gives us the freedom to choose how we respond to him, to other people. It helps us to love, worship, and relate to God and one another authentically, with sincerity and with depth. And I think that's kind of where I paused a moment and I put all of this together. On Sunday, I had a really bad day emotionally. I know I'm not alone. A lot of us have days like that. I wasn't taking good care of myself physically. I was allowing the anxiety to build. I wasn't in prayer. I wasn't meditating. I was not being quiet. I was trying to quiet those anxious thoughts, doing things, but I knew they weren't going to work. And I've asked God to convict me when I get that rebellious. And I think you probably know what I'm talking about. You know, you just kind of make one step away from God and then another one. And then you think you've got something going on and you've got the right path. So you go another one and then you lose your marbles. And then God says, hello, come back. So he comes and helps us collect our marbles and sit us down and say, now, do we want to try it a different way? And I think that's what he did for me. Looking back, I didn't at the moment, but looking back, I am so grateful that what threw me over the edge with my emotional state, my emotional marbles, was listening to what happened to Jesus before he was crucified. It was powerful. It made me stop my temper tantrum. It made me stop my errant ways and say, hold on, there's something bigger here. If I didn't have my emotions, I couldn't understand this bigger picture. And all this ties in for me as we approach Easter this week. We can know, we can say with our words what happened. We can use our head knowledge to understand what he did for us. But I think there's a lot more in it when we apply our emotions. And I think this is very appropriate for us to do. I don't think we should allow our emotions to overcome us, but I think we should allow them to connect us. So here's the connection between our emotions, and now I'm moving into Christ's crucifixion. First of all, it will elicit compassion and empathy. When we hear about Jesus' crucifixion, we have feelings of compassion and empathy as we think about his suffering and his sacrifice, that he was willing to endure immense physical and emotional pain. Jesus, in this plan, was demonstrating the depth of God's love for all of us, all of humanity. He's inviting us in to empathize with his suffering and respond with compassion towards others, like he did for us. And so what I mean by all this is that I think as emotional beings created in his image, we're meant to contemplate what he went through. We are meant to see in our mind's eye all this suffering that he went through. And he went through it for you and for me. If you were the only person on the planet, he still would have died this way. He still would have gone through this just for you. And I think that really allows us to be closer to him and to cause us to be thankful for all that he's done. The crucifixion of Jesus is a deeply sorrowful event. It can stir grief and sadness as we reflect on all the aspects of it. He was betrayed. He was abandoned. He was brutally treated, and he endured it all. So this sorrow that we feel isn't just for Jesus himself, but it's also for the brokenness and the sinfulness of humanity that required this sacrifice to begin with. And he knew before he created us, he was going to have to go through this. And when we think about that gift that he gave us through his suffering, it causes humility, or it should cause humility in us and lead us toward gratitude and worshiping. So as we think about the crucifixion, how it evokes feelings of sorrowfulness, we can also then have profound gratitude and a sense of awe that we consider the magnitude of a sacrifice and the magnitude of the redemption that it offers us. This gratitude that we have should inspire us to worship and adore him as we reflect on his immeasurable love and grace given to us through his death and resurrection. And that's hard. That's hard to get to the point where we don't stay stuck in that grief and sorrow. We have to move forward. And that's the joy and the beauty of Christianity. It's that our Savior didn't just die. Our Savior is alive. He rose again. And so now we have this hope and this joy, and we go through all of these emotions. And I think it's important to start with that. Start with the sorrow and suffering at that crucifixion. But remember, it ultimately leads us to the triumph of Easter morning, and it offers us hope and joy to believers through his death and resurrection, that we have forgiveness of our sins. We have a reconciliation with God. We have a promise of eternal life. And that should give you hope and joy and a celebratory feeling. And when you reflect on it, it should lead you to repentance and a sense of renewal as we confront our own sinfulness. You don't want to stay in that shame and that guilt. That's not what he died for. He died for us to be able to recognize our sins and then to move forward. We need his forgiveness. The sacrifice invites us to turn away from our sin, embrace a life of discipleship, and experience the power of God's grace to transform our lives. And when I started thinking about all these things, I wasn't angry anymore at the depth of my anxiety and emotional despair. I was grateful. I was grateful that I had emotions, because if I didn't have these emotions, I wouldn't know the depth of what he did for me. And I hope that gives you some hope too. You're not alone. I know there are a lot of people, a lot of us out there, that we experience the world through our emotions first. People then become overwhelmed with anxiety and confusion, and everything feels hard. I want to give you encouragement. There's a reason that you're going through this season. And during this Easter season, I'd highly suggest to take your mind off of your troubles, put your mind onto Jesus, spend time thinking about what he did, what he suffered, and allow yourself to go through these emotions of compassion and empathy and grief and sorrow and gratitude and worship and hope and joy and repentance and renewal. And in the end, what we have is thankfulness. That's the end. That's what we can offer: belief, faith, and thankfulness. So once I asked God to forgive me for not spending time in meditation and prayer like he was calling me to do, but looking for an easier way to deal with the emotions that were bubbling up inside of me, I'm able to know and know and know and know above all that because of the work that he did on the cross, I am forgiven. And his mercies are new every morning. His love renews my mind every day, every moment of every day. You don't have to wait for the morning for the new mercies. When you turn away from your sin and you turn toward God, his peace is right there, ready to take your hand and move you forward. Every moment of every day, we have that choice to ask Jesus to forgive us and turn our mind, go forward. And that's what I allowed myself to do. This is not an easy thing. This is a lot of mind work, and this has taken me years to be able to let go and not continue down that path of allowing that anxiety and overwhelm and then guilt and then shame because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing overtake me. I've spent decades of my life allowing that to overtake me, and I don't anymore. And I'm so grateful that he gave me this message to remind me that I am able to put my mind where it really matters. One thing that was very helpful for me was to remember to take care of my physical needs. I remembered, I'm tired. I need to rest. I need to sleep. I need to say no to a couple things that I really want to do because my body needs to sleep. And in God's impeccable timing, the very next day, back up a little bit. I have a group of friends from church where a couple weeks ago we decided every day we would pray for one of us. And so every day we pray, we pick a person and we pray for that day throughout the day. The very next day, after I'd lost my marbles and I'm trying to put them back into the bag and trying to remind myself that guilt and shame will get me nowhere and Jesus loves me and all that he's done, it was my day to be prayed for. And so I shared with them, I was having a difficult time. Anxiety was ruling the roost here, and I needed some help. It settled my heart once I got myself out of my head, out of my heart, and once I was able to think about what this season is and to reflect on that, and then to have that prayer behind me was immeasurable. It did so much good to receive that power from the prayers of my friends. And in that power of prayer, I'm able to renew myself through Christ. Well, I didn't do it. Jesus did it. And that's what he does because he loves us. So to wrap this up, I just want to encourage you to stop for a moment. When you're feeling overwhelmed, first of all, turn off your phone. Don't be tempted. Don't go there first. Find a quiet place. If you have small children, that may be the bathroom or it may not be the bathroom. It may be your car in the garage. But just give yourself an allotted time to feel the feelings. You can't keep them stuffed. You have to let them out. And then once you express them, your brain is going to clear out a little bit and you can understand where these emotions are coming from. Whatever hurt is causing your emotions and these thoughts that you're having, he can renew that. He promises that for you. He loves you that much. And this Easter season, I pray that you take a few moments every day for the next few days and contemplate what Jesus did for you and why he did it out of the emotion of love. One of my favorite verses in the whole wide world is found in 1 John. He doesn't say that God has love or that he feels love. It says God is love. And when you start putting God higher than your thoughts and higher than your emotions, it's comforting. He's perfect. He is love. He is the Savior. He is joy. He is comfort. He doesn't just give us these things. He is these things. And he's just asking us to rest in him. That's it. So in this world, when life is just spinning you around, you have to know that God's there waiting for you to rest in him. I pray, friends, that you have a lovely Easter morning and that your worship is powerful and life-changing. I pray that you realize you're not alone. If you're feeling overwhelmed and just really struggling with getting a grasp of how your life is moving, reach out. That's why I'm here. Life coaching helps you grab hold of what's truly important for you, identifying what is important to you, how to keep hold of it, how to set boundaries so you don't let it go or have someone take it from you, and how you can find that peace and calm in Jesus by letting go of the world's demands and letting God run your world. I love you, friend, and I bless you. And Jesus, I thank you. I thank you with every fiber of my being for all that you did for me, the suffering that you went through, but more importantly, the resurrection that occurred on Sunday morning. God bless you all, and I'll see you next time. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I'm hoping that you received a word. Let me close with a passage of scripture. Rejoice in your confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. By doing this, sweet friend, you're going to find that you can take those thoughts captive and change that mindset and be anxious for nothing. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time.